My name is Mephibosheth, and this is my story. Before talking about my life, it's important to know a bit about my ancestry. I am the grandson of King Saul, the first king of Israel, and the son of Jonathan, David's dear friend. My grandfather, Saul, was chosen by God to be the king of Israel. He was an imposing man, standing out among the people, and was anointed by the prophet Samuel. Saul began his reign with great hopes and promises, but his heart eventually strayed from God, bringing great consequences for him and his family. Saul was a brave warrior, often leading the army of Israel in battles against enemies like the Philistines. However, his disobedience and impatience led him to make grave mistakes. One of the most critical moments was when he offered a sacrifice that only the prophet Samuel should have made, showing disrespect for divine instructions. Another significant mistake was when he spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best animals of the flock, against God's orders to destroy everything. These actions caused God to reject Saul as king, announcing that the kingdom would be given to a man after God's own heart, who would be David. My father, Jonathan, unlike Saul, was a man of great faith and courage. He was known for his bravery in battle and his deep loyalty to David. Jonathan recognized that God had chosen David to be the next king of Israel and accepted this with humility. He made a covenant with David, promising eternal loyalty and friendship. This covenant is one of the most remarkable examples of friendship and loyalty in biblical history. Jonathan even risked his own life to protect David from Saul's attempts to kill him. The friendship between my father and David is a testament to how true friendship can overcome even political and familial rivalries. This family context greatly influenced my life from the beginning. Being born into a royal family brings certain expectations and responsibilities, but it also brings risks, especially when there are internal conflicts and external threats. The story of Saul and Jonathan, full of highs and lows, victories and defeats, is the foundation upon which my own story develops. From an early age, I was marked by this heritage of courage, faith, and also tragedy and loss. I was born during a time of great turmoil for my family and the kingdom of Israel. My birth occurred during the last years of my grandfather Saul's reign. I grew up amid the constant conflict between the army of Israel and the Philistines, one of the main threats to our kingdom. The Philistines were known for their military strength and their constant incursions into our territory, seeking to dominate and subdue the people of Israel. My childhood was therefore marked by stories of battles and the constant preparation for possible enemy attacks. From an early age, my life was surrounded by uncertainties and dangers. At 5 years old, a tragedy completely changed the course of my life. My father, Jonathan, and my grandfather, Saul, died in a battle against the Philistines on Mount Gilboa. The news of their deaths caused panic in our house. My nurse, fearing for my life, took me and fled hastily. During this desperate flight, I fell and became crippled in both feet. This physical disability shaped much of my future life, affecting my social status and opportunities. Life as a young crippled prince was not easy. In a society where physical strength and skill for war were highly valued, my condition put me in a vulnerable position. I could not participate in activities that other boys my age could, and this often made me feel isolated and powerless. My disability not only limited my physical abilities, but also affected my self-image and self-esteem. I knew that, in the eyes of many, I was a broken prince, a shadow of what I could have been if not for the accident. Besides the disability, the loss of my father and grandfather left a huge void in my life. Jonathan, my father, was not only a great warrior, but also a man of deep faith and integrity. He was my role model, and the pain of his absence was something I carried with me every day. We lived in times of uncertainty, always fearing reprisals and persecution, as David's rise to the throne put our family in a precarious position. Despite all these difficulties, there were moments of hope and resilience. I learned to find joy in small things and to value the relationships I still had. These lessons would be vital for me in the following stages of my life, as I would face new challenges and find new ways to overcome adversity. After the death of my grandfather and father, Saul's house faced a rapid and painful decline. With Saul's death, David began to consolidate his power as the new king of Israel, according to the divine plan. Saul's family, we were seen as possible threats to David's new reign. This forced us to live hidden and in constant fear of reprisals. We were taken to Lodabar, a barren and distant land, where we began to live in obscurity and poverty. For someone born into royalty, this change was drastic and painful. My physical disability only intensified my feeling of helplessness and marginalization. However, during all those years of hardship, the promise of friendship and protection between my father, Jonathan, and David was never forgotten, even though I still did not know the impact this would have on my future life. The fall of Saul's house was not just a political change, but also a deep blow to our sense of identity and purpose. Saul had been anointed by God, and his royal lineage was a central part of who we were. Losing that meant more than losing power and wealth. It meant losing our place in history and our connection to the divine plan. I grew up hearing stories about the great deeds of Saul and Jonathan, but also about the mistakes and consequences that led to our downfall. These stories shaped my understanding of what leadership, faith, and responsibility mean. In Lodabar, we lived in a kind of internal exile. The land was desolate, a stark contrast to the palaces and cities we knew. Life was a daily struggle for survival, and our position as former members of the royalty gave us no advantage. On the contrary, we had to be even more cautious to avoid attracting unwanted attention. My disability, which was already a burden in better times, became a mark of our fall. I could not physically contribute to our sustenance, which increased my sense of helplessness and dependence. However, this phase of my life was also an opportunity to learn about humility and resilience. We relied heavily on the help of friends and sympathizers who remembered my father and grandfather with fondness and respect. These people taught us about kindness and compassion in times of adversity. I learned to value generosity and solidarity, and these values would become central to me in the following years. Despite the difficulties, there was always a flame of hope. We knew that David was a man of God and that he had made a promise to Jonathan. This promise, though distant, was a beacon in the darkness of our situation. I did not know when or how, but I believed that somehow this promise would be fulfilled and bring a change to our family. My life in Lodabar was a constant test of survival and resilience. Lodabar, whose name means no pasture or no word, was an arid land, far from any prosperity or hope. For a child born into royalty, the transition to a life of extreme poverty was harsh. My physical disability was a constant reminder of my past and the accident that left me crippled. I depended on others for almost everything. There were days when the physical pain was intense, but the emotional and psychological pain of knowing that I, a prince, now lived in a desolate land was even worse. The society of that time valued strength and skill for war, and I, being crippled, felt invisible and useless. Despite our condition, there was a sense of community in Lodabar. We who lived on the margins of society learned to rely on each other. Solidarity and mutual aid were essential for our survival. Kind-hearted people helped us with food, clothing, and other basic needs. I learned that even in the darkest moments, humanity can shine through kindness and mutual support. Life in Lodabar also gave me a unique perspective on life and leadership. I saw how ordinary people struggled daily to survive and how faith and hope kept them going. This taught me to be humble and to value every small gesture of kindness and compassion. I knew that if I ever had the opportunity, I would like to repay that kindness and help others in difficult situations. While we lived in Lodabar, the promise David had made to my father, Jonathan, remained a light of hope in the darkness. David, who was now the king of Israel, never forgot the covenant he made with Jonathan. This covenant of loyalty and mutual friendship included a promise to protect and care for Jonathan's descendants. Although I did not know when or how this promise would be fulfilled, I believed that one day it would bring a change to my life. David was a man after God's own heart, and his leadership reflected the values of justice, mercy, and compassion. Even as the new king, he did not see my family as enemies, but as people worthy of honor and respect due to his friendship with my father. This characteristic of David is what made him such an admirable leader. He was able to see beyond political rivalries and act with integrity and love. Years passed, and I grew up hearing stories about David. He was a great warrior, a talented musician, and a wise leader. His victory over Goliath, his escape from Saul's attempts to kill him, and his rise to the throne were narratives that inspired many. For me, these stories were more than legends. They were a constant reminder that God had a plan, even for someone like me, crippled and living in exile. David's promise also taught me about the importance of one's word and commitment. In a time when promises were easily broken for political convenience, David kept his word, showing a rare faithfulness. This reinforced in me the belief that true leaders are those who honor their promises, regardless of the circumstances. Living with the hope of this promise helped me overcome many challenges in Lodabar. I knew that despite my condition and the difficulties we faced, there was a future hope. I believed that somehow David would remember me and my family. This thread of hope kept me strong, even when everything seemed lost. One day, something extraordinary happened that forever changed the course of my life. I was in Lodabar, living my daily routine of struggles and hopes, when messengers from King David arrived. They brought a message that seemed like a dream. King David wanted to see me. The news left everyone in Lodabar astonished. How could the king want to see someone like me, a cripple and a descendant of Saul? The messengers were clear. David had not forgotten his promise to Jonathan and wanted to fulfill his word. I was nervous, scared, and at the same time hopeful. The journey to Jerusalem was long and filled with reflections on what could happen. Upon arriving at David's palace, I was received with unexpected cordiality. David, upon seeing me, did not see just a cripple but the son of his dear friend Jonathan. He called me by name and welcomed me with love and respect. This touched me deeply. David explained that he wanted to honor Jonathan's memory and the promise he made to him. He offered me a place at his table as one of his own sons. This gesture of David was more than a simple act of kindness. It was a redefinition of my life. From someone living on the margins of society, I now had a place in the royal court. David also restored all the lands that belonged to my grandfather Saul and appointed Ziba, a former servant of Saul, to take care of them and ensure I had everything I needed. David's compassion and mercy transformed my life in a way I could never have imagined. He not only fulfilled his promise to Jonathan, but also gave me a new identity and purpose. The gratitude I felt was immense, and it inspired me to live in a way that honored both my father and David. I, who once saw myself as a cripple with no hope, was now treated as a prince with dignity and respect. When I was brought to the palace by King David, my life changed completely. I left a desolate existence in Lodabar to live in the majesty and security of the royal palace in Jerusalem. The transition was overwhelming and exciting at the same time. The palace was a place of great splendor with its imposing walls, magnificent halls, and lush gardens. It was hard to believe that I, a cripple and an exile, now belonged to this environment. David fulfilled his promise with generosity. He treated me like one of his own sons, offering me a permanent place at his table. Sharing meals with the king and his family was a great honor. At first, I felt out of place and embarrassed, but the kindness and welcome of David and the other members of the court soon made me feel at home. They did not see my disability as a limitation, but as a part of who I was, without diminishing my value. The restoration of my grandfather Saul's lands was another significant act of David. He not only gave me a position of honor in the palace, but also ensured I had the means to live with dignity. The lands were fertile and productive, and Ziba, the servant appointed to manage them, was efficient and loyal. With this source of income, I was able to support my family and secure a better future for us. In the palace, I also had the opportunity to learn and grow in ways I never imagined possible. I was able to study the scriptures, learn about the history and governance of Israel, and develop skills that made me more independent and confident. Life in the palace offered me a new perspective and a renewed sense of purpose. I was no longer just the crippled grandson of Saul. I was Mephibosheth, a valuable member of David's court. Despite all these blessings, I never forgot my roots or the promise that brought all this to reality. My father Jonathan's loyalty and David's integrity were constant reminders of how faith and true friendship can transform lives. I strove to honor these values in all my actions, always seeking to be a person worthy of the trust and love that were shown to me. My new life in the palace, though full of blessings and opportunities, also brought its own challenges. David's court was a place of political intrigue, rivalries, and tensions. Being a descendant of Saul still carried some stigma, and there were those who viewed my presence with suspicion or resentment. I needed to navigate these waters carefully, always aware of how my actions and words could be interpreted. My disability, which had once isolated me, now became a point of curiosity and sometimes judgment. Some people in the court did not understand why David treated me with such favor. There were whispers and questions about my value and my ability to contribute. This, however, only motivated me to prove that I deserved my place. I strove to show that despite my physical limitations, I had much to offer in terms of wisdom, loyalty, and service. Managing the lands restored by David was also a challenge. Although Ziba was a competent administrator, there was always the concern of ensuring resources were used fairly and efficiently. I became actively involved in overseeing operations, learning about agriculture, resource management, and leadership. This experience not only gave me a deeper understanding of leadership responsibilities, but also connected me more deeply with the people who worked the land and depended on it for their livelihood. Another significant challenge was keeping the memory and legacy of my father, Jonathan, and my grandfather, Saul, alive in a way that honored their contributions without resurrecting old rivalries. I often spoke about Jonathan's character and bravery, reminding everyone of his loyalty to David and his unwavering faith. This helped build bridges and strengthen ties between those who still remembered the House of Saul fondly and those who supported David's reign. Despite these challenges, life in the palace was a great blessing. I had access to resources, education, and a supportive community. I learned that true strength does not lie solely in physical ability, but in wisdom, resilience, and the ability to inspire and lead with integrity. These lessons would be fundamental to me as I continued on my path, always seeking to honor the promises made and the blessings received. My life in the palace, though generally positive, was not without betrayals and unexpected challenges. One of the most painful and complicated episodes involved Ziba, the servant whom David had assigned to care for Saul's lands. Initially, Ziba seemed like a loyal and efficient steward, but over time, his true intentions were revealed. Ziba began spreading rumors and lies about me. He claimed that I was conspiring against David and trying to restore the kingdom of the House of Saul. These accusations were completely false, but they were enough to sow doubts and mistrust. Ziba, taking advantage of my disability and my vulnerable position, manipulated the circumstances for his own benefit. During a rebellion led by Absalom, David's son, Ziba saw an opportunity to increase his power and influence. He went to David and said that I had stayed in Jerusalem, hoping that the House of Saul would be restored to power. Ziba brought gifts and provisions to David, claiming that I had betrayed him. David, in the midst of the chaos of the rebellion and with limited information, believed Ziba's lies and gave him all my properties. When the rebellion was quelled and I finally met with David, the truth came to light. I explained to David that Ziba had deceived me and that I had never conspired against him. David, realizing the truth, lamented the situation, but the decision to divide the properties between Ziba and me was a compromise to resolve the conflict practically. Despite the injustice, I accepted the decision with humility, recognizing that even in adversity, fidelity and integrity are more important than material wealth. This episode was a painful reminder that not everyone around us has pure intentions. Even those who seem loyal can be motivated by greed and ambition. However, it was also a valuable lesson about the importance of truth and justice. David's integrity and willingness to correct the wrong as much as possible reinforced my faith in divine justice and righteous leadership. Throughout my life, faith and perseverance have been pillars that sustained me in times of difficulty and uncertainty. From my childhood, marked by loss and disability, to the political and personal challenges I faced as an adult, my faith in God and determination to move forward were crucial. My physical disability was a daily challenge, and there were moments when the pain and frustration seemed unbearable. However, I always found comfort in the words of Scripture and God's promises. I learned to see my disability not as a punishment, but as an opportunity to demonstrate God's grace and strength in my life. Each day was a new opportunity to trust in God and to witness His faithfulness. Life in the palace, while full of blessings, also brought its own trials. Intrigues and suspicions in the court were constant, and I needed to be always vigilant. Ziba's betrayal was one of the hardest moments, but my faith helped me overcome the pain and injustice. I knew that in the end, the truth would prevail and that God was in control, even when circumstances seemed dark. My father's legacy, Jonathan, has always been present in my life, guiding my actions and inspiring my faith. Jonathan was an example of courage, loyalty, and unwavering faith in God. He was not only a prince and a warrior, but also a loyal friend and a man of principles. From a young age, Jonathan demonstrated his bravery in battles, often facing powerful enemies with fearless faith in God. One of the most well-known stories about my father is his victory over the Philistine garrison in Geba, where, accompanied only by his armor-bearer, he trusted completely in God to give him the victory. This act of courage inspired the Israelite army and changed the course of the battle, showing everyone that faith in God can overcome any adversity. But the most remarkable aspect of Jonathan's legacy is his friendship with David. When David defeated Goliath and gained favor in the eyes of the people of Israel, Jonathan recognized that God had chosen David to be the next king. Instead of resenting or seeing David as a threat, Jonathan made a covenant of friendship with him. He gave David his robes, weapons, and belt, symbolizing his support and loyalty. This act of humility and brotherly love is a powerful example of how true friendship should be based on mutual respect and sacrifice. Jonathan's loyalty to David was tested many times, especially when Saul, my grandfather, tried to kill David. Jonathan repeatedly interceded for David, risking his own life and facing his father's wrath. Jonathan's faith and courage in defending David, even when it meant challenging his own father, show the depth of his character and the sincerity of his friendship. He put God's will and his friend's well-being above his own safety and ambition. Growing up in the shadow of this legacy was both a blessing and a challenge. I knew I had a great name to honor and an extraordinary example to follow. The memory of Jonathan inspired me to be courageous and to trust in God, even when circumstances were difficult. His loyalty to David taught me about the importance of fidelity and selfless love. In every decision I made, I sought to reflect the values my father exemplified. Jonathan's impact on my life was not just personal. His story of faith and friendship influenced David's court and the nation of Israel. He showed that true leadership is servanthood, based on integrity and trust in God. This legacy is something I carry with pride and strive to pass on to others. I want my father's memory to remain alive, not just as a historical figure, but as an example of how to live with courage, faith, and love. Living in David's palace gave me the unique opportunity to learn directly from one of Israel's greatest leaders. David was not only a powerful king, but also a man of deep wisdom and faith. His leadership was guided by a strong trust in God and a profound understanding of the needs and hopes of his people. David faced many challenges throughout his reign, from battles with external enemies to internal conflicts and betrayals. His ability to navigate these difficulties with wisdom and grace was remarkable. He constantly sought God's guidance in all important decisions, demonstrating a complete dependence on divine will. This example of spiritual leadership taught me the importance of always seeking God's direction, especially in times of uncertainty and conflict. One of David's most admirable qualities was his ability to show mercy and compassion. He was a formidable warrior, but he also knew when it was time to forgive and show grace. This was evident in his relationship with me and in the way he fulfilled his promise to my father, Jonathan. David could have seen Saul's house as a threat, but he chose to honor Jonathan's memory and treat me with dignity and respect. This act of kindness changed my life and taught me about the power of mercy. Justice was another pillar of David's wisdom. He strove to be a just and impartial judge, always seeking to do what was right in the eyes of God. The story of how he dealt with Ziba's injustice is a clear example of this. Even when he was deceived, David sought to remedy the situation in the fairest way possible, showing his dedication to equity and truth. As the years passed, I reflected a lot on the extraordinary journey my life had been. From a crippled prince in Lodabar to a respected member of David's court, my story was marked by moments of deep sorrow and joy, challenges and victories. The last years of my life were times of relative peace and deep reflection. The relationship with David remained strong and based on mutual respect. Even with the passing of years and the inevitable changes in the court and the kingdom, David never failed to fulfill his promise. I continued to be treated with dignity and respect, and my position in the court was a constant reminder of the power of loyalty and a promise kept. David aged and faced his own struggles, but his integrity and faith remained unshaken. My own health, affected by disability since childhood, was a constant challenge, but I learned to live with it and find ways to contribute and be useful. Managing the lands and caring for my family were responsibilities I took seriously. Although I couldn't lead armies or participate in battles, I knew my role in administration and community support was valuable. The years passed and the inevitable moment of King David's death arrived. His death marked the end of an era and the beginning of a period of transition for the Kingdom of Israel. David had been an extraordinary leader, and his absence was deeply felt by all. For me, the loss was personal and profound. David was not just a king, but a faithful friend who had changed my life in countless ways. With David's death, Solomon, his son, took the throne. Solomon was known for his wisdom, a gift granted by God, and his reign brought significant changes to the kingdom. Under his leadership, Israel prospered economically and culturally. The construction of the temple in Jerusalem, a dream of David's, was realized by Solomon, becoming a center of worship and a symbol of God's presence among his people. My position in the court changed with Solomon's ascension. Although he respected his father's memory and the covenant with my family, there were new dynamics and challenges. Solomon was a just but firm leader, and his policies and priorities reflected his own vision for the kingdom. I continued to serve in the court, but now under new leadership, adapting to the changes and seeking to be useful in new ways. The last years of my life under Solomon's reign were peaceful, though challenging. The leadership transition brought new opportunities and also new responsibilities. I focused on ensuring that the legacy of David and Jonathan continued to be honored. working to support Solomon and the kingdom as best as I could. My faith remained strong, and I continued to trust God to guide and sustain me. As I approached the end of my life, I reflected more deeply on the legacy I would leave behind. My journey was marked by challenges and blessings, moments of pain and joy, but above all by unwavering faith in God and David's promise. My story, the story of Mephibosheth, is a witness to the power of faithfulness, grace, and love. The story of my life was told and retold, inspiring many to trust in God, even in the most difficult circumstances. My path, from a crippled prince in Lodabar to a respected member of David's court, showed that God can transform any situation and use anyone for his purposes. This message of hope and redemption is the heart of my legacy. The final days of my life were filled with peace and gratitude. I knew I had lived a full life despite the difficulties. My faith in God sustained and guided me at every moment, and I was confident that He would continue to care for me beyond this life. My story, the story of Mephibosheth, was a story of transformation and hope, a testimony of what God can do through faith and faithfulness. My final message to all who heard my story is simple: trust in God, be faithful, and love deeply. Life may bring challenges and trials, but with faith and perseverance, each one can find purpose and joy. The story of my life is living proof that God is faithful and that His promises are true. I left this world with the certainty that my life made a difference, and that is a legacy for which I am eternally grateful.